Good morning, and welcome to our AA meeting for Planet FM 104.6. My name is Ben, I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Today we have three fantastic speakers, Andrew, Jan and Manav. They will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with us. And I would like to welcome Andrew and ask you to open the meeting. Welcome along, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben. Thanks for asking me to open the meeting. My name is Andrew. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic. It's nice to be here this morning. I found my way into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous at the age of 25. I'm 51 now, and that was at the suggestion of a doctor, actually, at North Shore Hospital. They had a meeting in the basement of the hospital back in those days, and he'd seen me twice in 2 weeks for injuries that I had sustained through my drinking, and he suggested that I pop along to this meeting. So I went along that Saturday. Actually, I knew nothing about AA. I thought if I didn't go, they would tell him. So I went along anyway. And I saw God on the wall, to be honest, and I thought, you know, I don't know what they're selling, but I'm not buying it. This is not for me. And I left that meeting, and an old-timer stopped me at the end of the meeting, and he said, "Son, in AA we have these promises, but I promise you if you keep drinking, jails, institutions, and death." And I actually laughed at him. The irony is that was a self-fulfilling prophecy, because that's exactly what I got. Over the next 19 years, I had multiple suicide attempts. I had multiple blood transfusions. I had my heart restarted on several occasions. Uncountable social, medical, and hospital detoxes. And I managed to go through 14 treatment centres in the end, and wound up living in a men's shelter. I lost everything. My family were gone. My mum was still around, but it had got to a point where she couldn't. You know, she couldn't handle me and a sick father at the same time. And, you know, I was a very, very beaten, broken human being. So that gentleman that I met at that first meeting, he knew what this disease would do to me if I was a true alcoholic. And whereas, you know, I had no idea. I always thought I could, you know, beat the game if I drank differently, if I moved locations. You know, and our book talks about that, switching from scotch to, you know, to brandy. And I'd drink gin because I didn't like gin. And boy, could I drink a lot of gin. You know, my company was gone. Everything was taken away from me. And, you know, I just got sicker and sicker and sicker. I kept coming to AA, but I wasn't interested in your God, this God that you kept talking about, even my own concept of a God. And, you know, it was heartbreaking for those that knew me. And so, you know, I got to the point where, you know, I was literally dying. I got picked up and taken to my the last meeting before I went in for an emergency medical detox. And, you know, I was so sick. One guy held my cup of tea and the other guy sat on the other side of me and kept me propped up, literally. You know, and I was yellow with jaundice and a very beaten, broken, sick human being. And I went for my medical detox the next day at Pittman House in Auckland there. And my induction was, "Hi, Andrew, nice to see you back. Welcome. You're in room one. You know where everything else is." And, you know, I walked into room one, and for the first time in my life, I just said, "God, would you please help me?" You know, I had nothing left, Ben. And, you know, I've never picked up a drink or a drug since. I left that detox and went on to do my 14th and final rehab. And for the first time, I actually listened to what they were saying like I'd never heard it before. And, you know, I threw myself into this program. I was literally doing, which we can do in Auckland, 17 to 19 meetings a week. Borrowed my mum's car and I literally lived in meetings. I knew if I sat in an AA meeting that I wouldn't drink for that, you know, that hour of the meeting and the half an hour before it and the half an hour after it. And people started asking me if I'd like to go for a cup of coffee, and my head would be screaming no, but I'd go anyway, you know. And I'd sit there, I'd be awkward and silent and uncomfortable. And the irony of that is I started making a whole heap of friends I didn't know I wanted or needed. And you know, I don't do 17 to 19 meetings a week these days. I'm married. I have all those other promises that old guy was talking about. You know, married, and we have a successful little company, and, you know, a baby that turns 3 next month, and, you know, I live in a beautiful home and drive a nice car. You know, all that cool stuff of being sober. But those other promises of being recovered is that, you know, I can look in the mirror and like what I see, and I'm healthy and I'm fit. And I'm comfortable in my own skin. You know, Ben, I believe, you know, I'm a grateful alcoholic because I believe this disease, when treated with this program, leaves the sufferer in a better place than if they never had the disease to start with. And thanks for asking me in this morning.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your experience, strength and hope with us this morning. And thank you for all the service you do as well. Now, I would like to welcome Jan. Jan, would you like to share?
Yes, thank you for inviting me in, Ben. This is new to me. I've never spoken on a radio before. My name is Jan. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And sober today by the grace of God and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Excuse me. I started officially drinking on my own volition when I was 14 years old in a small town in rural New Zealand. I was raised in a family of alcoholics. The men used to drink in the garage and the women would drink in the kitchen, and I was somewhere in between and tried to be one of the boys, really, and drink like a boy. And I drank alcoholically right from the get-go, you know, and right into blackout, right into... I was a fall down, throwing up, crying drunk, and, you know, did strange things, acted very weirdly, drank more than everyone else around me, would be quiet, shy, insecure, look at the ground, couldn't have a conversation with anyone till I got a few drinks in. Then you'd find me in a pub on a tabletop with my tits out. You know, it was horrible. Then I'd wake up in the morning and feel, oh my God, what have I done? You know, what have I said? Who have I, you know, I've embarrassed myself again. It was a horrible way to live. I did funny things, but they weren't funny inside. You know, I was literally dying inside from the hole in the soul, and didn't know it really. Chose to believe that it was all fun and hilarity until it wasn't. At the age of 27 or so, I went to London. I'd moved around, done a lot of geographical things, Aussie, back, over to Aussie again and back again, went to London, but still drinking. And one day in London, in the flat in London, which is very rare to be on your own, I woke up and there's a bottle of Kahlua on the mantelpiece and I wanted to drink it. And I believe that God gave me the gift of knowing that if I drank that, it was game over. So I got that warning, you know, and I knew something was wrong with me. I didn't drink that bottle. I rang a friend, and it was so weird because this friend said, Jan, I worked on Lifeline back in New Zealand. She said, get out of the flat, meet me for lunch. She knew exactly what to say and what to do. So I did that. I got out of the flat. Do you know how many pubs there are in London when you want to drink? It was a real effort to walk past all of them. Met her for lunch. And anyway, a whole lot of things happened, and I was coming back to New Zealand about 3 days later. Swore off the drink. Came back, drank for another year or two. You know, denied it. But I never forgot that little incident, and I believe that that was God's way of showing me I was in trouble. I then had, excuse me, I'm going to croak. I then had an event where I went to see a girlfriend in Rotorua. I hadn't seen her for ages. I said, hey, I'm in town, coming round to see you. She said, I don't drink anymore. And I already had the crate in the boot, you know. So I was coming to see her, and I said, oh, well, you know, that's okay. Anyway, long story short, that night, that woman 12-stepped me into an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I said, where are these funny meetings? I knew I had to go. I had to go to a meeting. And she said, I don't know, you're leaving town tomorrow. You'll have to find one in your town. And she said, they'll be in the paper in those days, because it was 1988. It'll be in the newspaper or ring the church or something like that. So it took me a week, and I made the call, found the number, made the call. And a lady came and took me to my first meeting. And I had the most profound sense of belonging that I'd ever had. I belonged in that meeting. I was terrified. I cried. I looked at the floor and didn't speak to anyone, but I belonged. I couldn't tell you what they said, but it was that belonging. The distinction of I'd always tried to fit in before, but here I belonged. I didn't have to change myself to be with these people. I could be me, you know, and that was a wonderful thing. So I started my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I did everything wrong for the first few years. I sponsored myself. I took myself through the steps. So it's this crazy woman leading the crazy woman down the steps. Didn't quite work, but I stayed sober. I stayed sober all these years. I didn't have to drink again. And, you know, from a scody little drunk running around town, you know, I got sober and stayed sober. And it was difficult in my family. I think they all thought I had gone crazy because they kept drinking. And and I haven't had to have a drink since, you know. And I eventually, of course, did the steps the proper way with a sponsor. And then in a group, I run service these days, running a 20-week group, taking other people through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to give back. If we all got sober and left, who would be here for the newcomer, you know? I've just followed a path. Yes, terrible things have happened in sobriety. People have died. Things have happened. I've had to process my own feelings world. I've had to go to counsellors. I've had to deal with the hurts of the past. You know, I've had to grow up and feel the feelings. You know, and those times are painful. Even though I'm coming up to 35 years sober, I'm still an alcoholic today and can still go through emotional jags. You know, times of anger, times of resentment, times of bitterness. That just tells me I'm off my program. I step up my meetings. I ring another alcoholic. I share the truth. I just keep going, trudging the road to happy destiny, you know. And for that, I'm very grateful. I'm a very grateful alcoholic. You know, I've learned so much. I had no moral code of living, no ethical background, no value system when I was drinking. Now I live by a code of honesty, truth. You know, just living a good life. You know, I got married, I have a child who was not a child now, she's 27. You know, I've sustained a whole lot of things that normal people do. I couldn't do that when I was drinking. All I could do was drink over the pain. And for me, it was more an emotional driver that drove me into Alcoholics Anonymous than the drink. You know, I was a complete binge drinker, but hadn't really sort of had that experience of having to drink every day yet. I got the gift of being able to see that was coming. So to be a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous has been the best thing I've ever done for my life. And I've met some wonderful people, wonderful friends, and I get to live one day at a time in serenity and mostly peaceful days. Thank you for asking me to share.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jan. That was inspirational, and congratulations on your 34, soon to be 35 years of sobriety. Just incredible. And I just love so much that you're still being of service and you understand how important it is to keep showing up. Now, Manav, would you like to share?
Sure thing. Thank you, Ben. And thanks all. It is also my first time. Oh, sorry. Let me start off with that. I'm Manav, an alcoholic for everyone. Always forget. I think I'm a bit nervous because even it's my first time on radio. My alcoholism, I suppose, it's more the mental factor than the physical factor of drinking, because I never saw anything wrong with it, or I grew up in a culture where it was the norm. So growing up in India, in Bangalore, it's also called the city of pubs, so go figure. And my dad drank, uncles drank. You know, it's just part of what we were growing up. And it was a rites of passage thing for us when we drank. Like, I didn't drink till I was 18 properly. I mean, I had maybe a beer here or a sip there, but I didn't properly start drinking when I was 18. So I think a lot of my mental factor of drinking came to the fact that I'm doing the right thing. You know, I didn't. No, I'm not going to drink till I'm a legal age. I was living in America at the time, so it would have been 21 prior to moving to New Zealand. And, so I drank alcoholically pretty much from the start. I wasn't a fighty drunk or a punchy drunk. I was happy drunk, always happy drunk. So it took me a while to realize that, you know, even though you're a happy drunk, you are drinking excessively. And I was always an excessive drinker. I'd always make sure that there's more alcohol needed. Regardless whether I finish it or not, there'll be a bottle in my car. And I learned this through, like, you know, sort of trials and tribulations where I never once thought that, oh, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing or maybe I'm drinking too much. You know, it's just every time I'd not be able to get my hands on drinks or not be able to get as drunk as I needed to be, I'd learn from that and I'd better myself the next time. And I had all these plans and amazing tricks up my sleeve to drink. And it lasted for a while. You know, I went to uni, went to worked for 10 years, no issues, drank through it all. At the same time, I think, and what I've realized is recently, is those feelings, you know, the feelings that you need to feel in life, I repressed by drinking. Anytime I'd feel down, I'd be like, I just need a drink and I'd feel better. And going through that towards the end of when I started drinking heavily and badly was when things started becoming real. When I bought a house, got married, and all these things that I needed to sort of all of a sudden be responsible for. I needed to be responsible for my decisions, my family, my wife. And it sort of started wearing on me. And I just started drinking more and more and more. And it wasn't helping that, you know, I was living with my parents at the time. Traditionally, as Indians, we do that. We live in joint families and stuff like that. But me growing up abroad, leaving India at a young age, but being born in India and expecting to be Indian kind of thing in Western world, it's a tough one. So I didn't want to go through these things, but I was going through these things, and I wasn't willing to even listen to myself. And it broke me where I'm not Indian enough for my parents, you know, and I'm trying to do all the right things, and I was trying to be a people pleaser and please everybody around me, but inside, it was just breaking. It was hell on myself, and I hadn't even realized it. And life just moves on, you know. Life just doesn't wait for you to catch up. It just moves on in a faster fashion than you want it to be. Like, and the only way to slow down was for me to stop drinking. Didn't know how. I went to AA once 7 years ago, I think, 5-6 years ago, quite a while back, and I wouldn't have a bar of it. They expected me to stop drinking. I was like, what? No, I'm here to fix my drinking. Don't you people fix drinkers? And then they were like, no, you need to, you know, the fact that you've taken this step coming here means that you've addressed a problem in your life. And I was like, yep, okay. But I don't have it as bad as you guys. And I didn't. I used to, you know, have a hangover here and there, but I used to only drink on the weekends. And the blackouts hadn't started yet. I mean, here and there, if it was a long weekend, yeah, I'd have a blackout, but that's what you do, apparently. And who else was it? A gentleman handed me my 24-hour coin. He said, you know, chuck that in your mouth. If it melts, you can have a drink. Without even a fleeting thought, I was like, I was never a chemistry major, so what chemicals do I need to Google to figure out to melt this? Because I'm going to drink. And I did. I went out and drank for 3-4 more years. And I promised myself everything. You know, I'll never be a work drinker, like, you know, drinking on the job kind of thing. I didn't, but I'd step off of work and start drinking immediately and stop just when I need to get back to work kind of thing. And there was other times when you made your promises that you would not drink over 2 days, 3 days in a row. And that I just got better at drinking that I had to drink 2 to 3 days in a row because the life just continues, you know. And then I had to have the top up in the morning just to get the hangover out of the way because I needed to do whatever life expected me. Lawns, laundry, go to a party, this, that. And, you know, one time I was at a one-year-old's party and it was, I had to have a drink in order to have the shake stop. Yet I hadn't realized, you know, there was an issue till I think after a three-day bender, I had enough. And that first meeting I had gone to sort of started coming back to me. And my friend also who was in the program at the time had said, you need to get the program. I'd not listened to anything, but finally I started listening to some bits and pieces saying, I need this insanity to stop. And I stepped into the rooms again. I actually contacted another gentleman who I'd spoken to years before, and we had missed a meeting because we didn't know where it was, Herald Island, when it was held in the back or something like that. And that gentleman actually texted Andrew, who was waiting for me on Tuesday night in Tier 2 in Fenway Pie. And he addressed me by name, and I got freaked out. I was just like, how do these people already know me? Like, is it already out in the community? And then when I stepped into the rooms, it was that serenity that I needed, you know, that focus, that drive, and the steps that just gives you that discipline that I was always looking for. And finally, I put the bottle down, and yeah, it wasn't a linear path. I did drink once in past 2.5 years, and this July 27th, I've completed my 2 years sobriety, which was a big achievement for me, and it's finally dawning on me. Like, I don't need to pick up the drink anymore. I don't need to pick it up anymore. I've got the steps. I've got my family in AA. I've got my fellowship. And I've got my service now. And I was waiting for 2 years of sobriety so that it opens up more service avenues. And, yeah, that was my sort of biggest flex in AA. Like, you know, I'm like, yes, I get to do more service. Now I've got a little family, wife, kid, home's fine. Everything is back to normal. But it's only by the hand of AA that I can keep it going. And I attribute that to the fellowship now and the service. And I have to continue to do this service. Otherwise, I will go back to drinking, and that is not a life I want anymore. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Manav. And thank you for joining us this morning. That is all the time we have. Thank you to all three of our speakers. Andrew, Jan and Manav, thank you for coming in and sharing your experience, strength and hope. We are on air every Sunday morning from 10:45 a.m. So tune on in to Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757, or you can go to the AA website, which is aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information, including a list of local meetings. Now, could you please help me close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
Thanks, Ben.
God,
grant me serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
So much further now, but I